And we'll take a moment to get set up with our next presenter, Iris Yellum. Iris is currently a graduate student, a master's student in ethnomusicology at UCLA. She has also been our tireless and faithful student assistant in the Ethnomusicology Archive for a couple of years now. And in fact, we're going to miss her very much when she graduates in just a few weeks and heads off to India for language training and many adventures, I'm sure. Iris has done research with Hindustani classical music and is particularly presenting today on non-traditional fusions of his Hindustani classical music with other traditions and the recording industry. And I think with specific reference to Los Angeles and Southern California.
Particular to the musical landscape in Los Angeles is the prevalence of North Indian classical musicians who engage musically with traditions outside their own. Internationally renowned sitar Sujat Hussain Khan has worked extensively with Persian classical musicians and has appeared on several recordings that are representative of Indian classical and Persian classical collaboration, as well as Indian classical and jazz collaboration. By examining both its historical precedent and its relation to contemporary North Indian classical music, I will demonstrate that Khan's music is emblematic of stylistic, cultural, and contextual hybridities. Indicative of his stylistic hybridity and willingness to work with musicians outside North Indian classical music, Khan has made four recordings in the group Ghazal with Kamanche player Kehan Kalhur and tabla player Samir Chatterjee. And here's a clip from one of those albums. So what you're hearing there is Sujat Khan trading with the Kamanche player. In an interview with him last March, we discussed his work with Ghazal, and he emphasized the importance of musician, but also decried the stylistic inflexibility of some contemporary performers. He said, they don't know how to deviate, they don't know how to listen to other music, and these are people who can't share. You have very few people who are on top of their field and also interested in other people's music. He went on to explain the importance of the performer being able to adjust to new musical styles and contexts. Reflecting his musical philosophy, his recordings demonstrate a fluidity of styles that draw upon the rhythmic versatility of Indian classical music and soloistic playing of Persian classical music. And so this is a similar clip from the recording Shams. So although Khan's collaborations are very innovative, they are part of a wider history of cross-cultural interactions. R. Anderson Sutton addresses the cultural hybridity of all music in a paper on hybridity and hybridism in Indonesian music combined with Western music. Sutton focuses for the most part on the music itself. One of his important questions is an all music hybrid? But he continues, if we understand that all music and culture is hybrid, then hybridity as a category is no longer valid. Acknowledging that the concept of hybridity is contentious in contemporary cultural theory, Sutton realizes that it also brings up similarly problematic notions of purity and authenticity. In defining cultural hybridity, Sutton understands it as involving either the intentional mixing of elements developed in separate semiotic worlds, or at least partially perceivable as such a mix, whether acknowledged as intentional or not. Sutton's model acknowledges the complexities of the many kinds of hybridity and the varying levels of creative production conceived of as hybridity. There are also problems with hybridity as a totalizing category, and Sutton cautions against this. The difference between a Javanese and Dutch music hybrid and a jazz and Indian classical music hybrid is that Javanese and Dutch music differ in many respects, while jazz and Indian classical music have more technical and aesthetic commonalities, including the emphasis placed on improvisation. Nevertheless, Ravi Shankar writes that because of the common feature of improvisation in jazz and Indian classical music, many people do take it for granted that our music is like jazz, which is far from the truth, in his opinion. The improvisation in jazz is based on Western chords, harmony, and a particular theme. In Indian classical music, one improvises on a theme, either in the form of a song or an agut based on a chosen rag. Being bound by rules and observing the complex rhythmic structures and time cycles, it takes 12 to 15 years of training with a guru in the oral tradition before one can reach the ultimate aim to improvise with the sky as a limit. The disparity of musical systems is something to consider in musical analysis of collaborations. And as a former jazz musician, I can attest to the differences between music systems such as chord changes in jazz versus the ragas of North Indian classical music. While pointing to similar features can be helpful, broad generalizations must be questions. Question. Sutton's model relates to Khan's music in that musical style is changed by interaction with another tradition. In the example shown, the sitar traded with the kamanche, which perhaps fosters technical experimentation that might not usually appear. And so placing these two instruments in an improvisatory context showcases techniques as limited by the instrument itself, but also the possibilities. And I'd also like to note that tabla playing is changed in these recordings in the clear sense of sum, the downbeat of the time cycle, and kali, the wave in the time cycle, halfway through in Tintal, which is 16 beats. That clear sense ceases there. So implied narratives of authenticity and purity may also arise in discourses of hybridity, but I use caution in examining hybrid if classical may be understood as simply authentic. Taking issue with discourses on authenticity, I rather examine the hybrid as blending of musical style, culture, and context. Sutton's conception of hybridity is extended beyond music to include culture and context. In performance of one of Khan's collaborations, the venue is not typical of jazz or of Indian classical, and the audience was similarly composed. These concerts draw a different audience than the respective genres that they draw upon. Returning to tabla, tabla players are now encouraged to go beyond a basic framework of simple teka, which is a basic time cycle. In my discussions with tabla players, there was an indication that they're now allowed to be more engaged with the concert proceedings than in the past. So this indicates the beginning of increased creative agency for tabla players starting in the classical realm and extending, of course, to new contexts such as what we see here. So some of the new contexts that are exemplified by one of Khan's concerts I attended at the Skirball Cultural Center, the group was a reprise of the personnel on the 2009 Delbar album, which is very similar to what I just played on Shams. However, in the performance I saw, there were also two jazz musicians that were added to this mix. So it was very similar repertoire, but apart from the two Indian classical musicians, the Persian poetry, there was also piano and saxophone. Abhiman Kaushal, the tabla player at this performance, teaches tabla at UCLA and has on occasion played tabla for the group Ghazal, the first example that I played. One of Kaushal's recordings with non-classical music is on Philip Glass's Passages from 1990. For the recording passages, Kaushal told me that Ravi Shankar gave Philip Glass three or four themes and vice versa. They wrote on each of the themes that they exchange, and that's how Passages began. As long as collaborations are sensible to Kaushal, he believes that they are possible, appropriate, and potentially rewarding. And this isn't always the case. He noted that the whole approach in these contexts is different, the atmosphere, the people, and the music. In general, in these musical settings, I try not to go there as an Indian classical tabla player. I open my mind in such a way that I have to understand what their sounds are. If I keep my identity very strong, that, you know, I'm an Indian classical tabla player, then I won't be able to be receptive to what they're trying to do with tabla. So I have to keep my ears and heart open, listen to what they're doing, and try to look at it from their angle of how tabla can work with them. And then have some kind of a midpoint where I am satisfied with what I'm doing, and at the same time that they are satisfied. If you're holding on to yourself too strong, then nothing is going to happen. I'll keep playing kaidas, a type of tabla composition, with them, and that doesn't work. So this illuminates a lot about the nature of collaboration for Kaushal, and it's very similar to Khan's conception of collaboration. So I'll play that clip for you now. So Khan says that he wouldn't be able to play kaidas, the type of tabla composition, in these types of performance. It just wouldn't fit, so he has to adjust what he's doing. However, the strong classical basis is the foundation, the only way for him to do this experimental work, and his classical music identity can't be compromised as well. So having this strong classical identity is what allows him to go to these new extremes in playing. Khan and Kaushal have similar ideas about collaboration, and musical identity is how the musicians form and articulate ideas of appropriate context for the music and find what practices are suitable. More broadly, it also implies how they embrace, critique, or reject certain collaborative styles and contexts, often with reference to the classical tradition they were trained in and with whose aesthetics and ideals they identify, or indeed may be of their own devising. I exercise caution in using the term musical identity, as Timothy Rice has pointed out the relationship between music and identity is a recent theme in ethnomusicology, and it needs to be grounded in general literature on identity. Musical style itself demonstrated the concept of hybridity as techniques and forms were adjusted. Musicians had particular ideas about how to fit stylistically into hybrid contexts. They all recognized the need for a form that would differ from their classical music playing, but had varying personal philosophies on how to do so, not only musically, but also psychologically and socially. Their comments about their own experience, performance, and about others' collaborations again illuminated the splintered quality of Indian music collaborations. This might be an indication of a nascent form or forms that could be codified in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Iris. We have a few minutes for questions now. Yes, Mohsen.
As far as I know, they start out with a raga and then have a composition that they feel would work for both sitar and kamanche, that they're trying to accommodate the techniques of both. So they do have particular compositions for these types of recordings that would be different from classical compositions.
And they're not raga?
They are sometimes based in ragas, but there's a little more flexibility. So it might be slightly inaccurate to say they're ragas, but there's a very strong basis in that, in this type of collaboration. And in other recordings, it's quite a bit looser, and you would say that it's probably based on something more like a Western scale. So it depends on what recording you're referring to. That's a good question. In this type of recording with Persian classical music, it might be considered more classical than something that would be incorporated with jazz. That wouldn't really be viewed as classical. It might be viewed as fairly classical, but it's hard to say. Depends on the person. Yes.
Yes, Chris.
Well, in these cases, yes, sometimes you do hear folk songs in this type of context. Khan doesn't always sing in his concerts, but it's more common for that to happen when he's playing with Persian classical music or with jazz musicians. So it is common for non-classical forms of Indian music to come into this. Mm-hmm. This is on the one of Ghazal's recordings. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
In the case of something like this that is still fairly classical, it seems to me that it is trying to be marketed to an Indian classical audience or perhaps a Persian classical audience because the album art is really quite similar. Whereas if you see something with jazz or some other kind of music that might be marketed even in a New Age section, it could really go anywhere. But something like this is marketed as something that a classical audience could listen to.
Who composed the who did the theme on the last piece where they were rating?
On the last piece.
Or?
You know, it's hard to say. When I read about it and when I talked to Abhiman Kaushal, it seemed that it could go either way. They kind of started to just blend together what they were doing. I think that was probably Ravi Shankar's theme, but that's just my guess.
All right, thank you very much, Iris.